Okay, let's start the session about real-time analytics. Thomas and I will speak. I will start with something a bit more generic, and Thomas will give the impression of how they do things in Norway. So, who here is using real-time data? Myself included. For whom it is a struggle? Yeah, real-time data is difficult. It seems that's a problem all over the world. Raphael, who sits in front here, and myself, we will speak about our experiences in Germany. In this talk, I'll be a bit more generic and talk about how we deal with that in the O2Me community. The bad news is it's very complicated. The good news is, or slightly good news, is that we have tools to manage all of that complexity. So a quick recap. Scheduled data goes into GTFS or DATEX feeds. That's kind of the planned data. And then we have real-time delays and cancellations and stop skipping that goes into GTFS RT or Siri ET. So we can layer that on top. So far, so uncontroversial. These real-time data feeds, we all know, they frequently contain problems, many problems. The most common problem we have everywhere is the IDs don't match. So trip IDs, journey IDs, the real-time ID doesn't match the scheduled data. So before I started working on OTP, I had a very naive understanding that there is a planner somewhere that plans a trip, and they give that trip an ID, and then that moves from planning to operations, and then operations people, they also use this ID, and then in the trip planner, very neatly you can use the planned data and the operations, i.e. the real-time data, you can easily combine them and everything is great. Well, we all know that's not the case, so this definitely doesn't work like that at all. So very frequently the scheduled system, the planning system, and the real-time system use different IDs, both for the trips, but also for the stops. They often have a different understanding what the stop ID is. So we have to deal with that somehow. So that's one of the big problems of real-time real-time consumption. Another problem, a very common problem, is time traveling. So, for example, we have a trip here which goes to three stops. Stop one is at 10:10, stop two is at 10:20, and suddenly the real-time system says stop three is at 10:05. So, what do you do with that real-time update? OTP is very strict about not allowing this because that would mean you can get on a train to be. Like, you can save time by getting on a train because then you're back in, you'll save 15 minutes by just traveling somewhere. That, of course, we cannot allow. So, therefore, we have very strict requirements that these times must be not negative or even they must be increasing. So, this gets very bad. So, if you get from a real time system, you get an update like that, it very clearly is a mistake. So it says we reject the whole update and say that you can't do that. So the real time system has to fix the data. This becomes much harder. So in Siri, at least in the Norwegian, in the Nordic profile, you have to supply all times for the entire trip. So of course you can very easily check, okay, we reject this, throw it away, and complain to the real-time system. With GTFS RT, this becomes harder. Because in GTFS RT, you don't have to supply the whole trip. You can say, I only supply the data for the bit that I know, which is maybe now plus 20 minutes or something like that. So we have a trip here. Stop one is at, we are scheduled to be at 10:10, but we're 3 minutes late. At stop two, we're scheduled to be at 10:12, 3 minutes late. At stop three, we are scheduled to be 10:14. We don't have real-time data. When are we at stop three? Well, if we say, okay, if we don't have any real-time data, then we use the scheduled data, then again here we have time traveling, because if you just take the scheduled data, then we are from 10:15, we travel back in time to 10:14. So you kind of have to apply the, you have to propagate the delay a longer trip. Sounds easier than it actually is, because it's very easy to run into cases where you have to be extremely careful. For example, if you skip a stop and they don't supply any real-time data for that, then you have to calculate times for that. So there's a huge amount in OTP, in the GTFSRT real-time code, is dealing with these sorts of problems. In particular, these cancellations are very, very tricky. So what do we do in OTP? So we have an extensive framework of checking things. Every problem has like an error code. For example, negative hop time. Hop is basically in between two stops. And negative dwell time is the time that a vehicle stops at a stop. So I don't know, sometimes you have long, mostly dwell time is zero. So people say, I arrive at the top at a stop at 10:10 and I leave the stop at 10:10. But occasionally you have systems where I say, okay, I arrive at the stop at 10:10 and I leave the stop at 10:11 or 10:15 or something like that. But that time, of course, must also be increasing. You cannot say I arrive at 10:09 and I leave at 10:08, because that's also time travel. Then we have error codes for trip not found, which is if the ID doesn't match. And then we have statistics APIs to aggregate all of these errors by URL, by success, failure type, and we expose that. Yeah, so we have these statistics. The problem is the real-time data is, of course, very fast-paced. So you cannot, it changes, of course, all the time. It gets worse when you stream the data. So you cannot look at each individual update. It's just too confusing and changes too fast. So what we have to do is to aggregate all of this data and look at trends and kind of dashboards. So the aforementioned error codes, we accumulate for all of the feeds. So for example, here we have an example from Germany. Here, batch trip updates failure type, error type, negative dwell time, feed ID, HBG, you know, there's a URL. Five of those. We have 143 no service on date. We have no trip for cancellation found, one of those, and so on and so forth. So if you take this raw data, this is in a format called Prometheus, and there's an open source Prometheus database, you can also generate these kinds of graphs from that. So in this example, for example, the top line is the success rate. So success rate is pretty bad here. So we have between 20 and 40% of success with matching up the real-time update. So in the best case, 60% of the updates are thrown away completely. Down here, we have absolute numbers, which is successes and failures. And you can see over time, during the day, it goes up and down. So you can identify some time, some reasons. Maybe it has to do with some external factor. And then down here you have the failure codes. For example, the purple line that is trip not found. So in this analysis, for example, the majority of the problem is that the trip IDs are completely don't match, and you cannot find the corresponding scheduled trip. So what can you do with this? What kind of insights, problem solutions? So here we have these error codes over time, and you can see, for example, these blue peaks. That is no service on date, which means you're sending a real-time update for a trip that doesn't run on that date. And it also suspiciously happens around midnight. So that probably means that as some part of your system uses the wrong day, uses the wrong service state to supply the real-time information. So that gives you already a clue what the problem could be. So you probably have to check, okay, do I have a bug in my code around midnight? Another one here, we have a feed which sends a lot of not, this is a Siri feed, by the way, which sends a lot of not monitored error codes. Not monitored is a Siri error code, which means I'm sending you the update contains data, but the real-time feed already knows it's not real-time data. So why does it even send the data in the first place is a mystery, so you have to investigate. So in this case, this meant that the vehicles didn't send any real-time data, so the problem was even earlier in the chain. Not the real-time prognosis system, but the vehicles didn't send the data. So the real-time system knew I am supposed to send real-time data, but I don't have any from the vehicles, so therefore I'm just sending you the scheduled data with the flag not monitored, and then OTP kind of says, well, scheduled data I already have, so I throw this away. So these are the sort of things you can do with the statistics and Prometheus API. Are there any questions? Oh, yeah. Rafael?
Negative dwell time will also throw an error if I have a delay on the arrival, or no, a delay on the departure, but no delay in the arrival?
Yeah, so these sorts of situations, arrival and departure, you also have to take into account. It's also very easy to run into problems with that. Again, OTP, GDFSRT allows you to leave out a lot of stuff. We try to smooth things over and kind of, but it's a horrible business to do this kind of smoothing and kind of inventing times. I really encourage you to supply all times, even if you think, even if they're the same, because it makes the process of consuming this much, much easier. Let's take one more question because we're kind of running out of time here. Maybe you, the gentleman with the blue shirt.
Yeah, so about the ideal mismatch, how do you go about this? I briefly saw the code in OTP for GDFS and I saw that it's matched by times, I think.
We have something called fuzzy trip matching, which I will talk about in the next presentation, so I'll not go into details. One more, Michael?
Yes, so what is the reason that the operation system does not work directly from the schedule data?
That's a good question, but it's
nobody, I don't know. Yeah. I really don't know. It's a mystery to me.
I think it's due to legacy that these systems are old, especially the ones on the real time, and they are hard to change.
I have not heard a convincing explanation why this is so complicated.
Usually connected to hardware as well.
Yeah.
I think historically the real-time data was taken from the operation systems, and they never built those systems to supply customers with real-time data. They just one day figured out, okay, we have this data, we can might as well just throw it out there, but they never really thought about the release or something like that.
Okay, so as Brede mentioned yesterday at Entur, we try not to change data. We try to either reject it or let it validate. And so it's important then when we reject data to actually also tell the PTAs and the providers of the data why it was rejected and how they can improve their data. So we have a little bit of a different setup. So instead of actually pulling this data, most of the data that we report on, we are taking from our real-time hub, not from OTP, but basically it's the same information. So we have a real-time hub. We receive all these Siri feeds into that, and that's doing the job of aggregating it up and publish it on Google PubSub. So from Google PubSub, we put the data in BigQuery, which allows us to do statically long-term analysis on it. And we also grab it into Grafana, which Leonard showed. So we have a data quality report, and this is public, and it rates all the data providers in Norway on the quality. So this is a score calculated based on a lot of different, I'm going through some of these, how good their data are. And this is also reported to the authorities. So we get some pressure from above, from the government down to this, and that they have to improve. And we also send it to them as well. But it is public information. So as you can see, the quality, we have some very good ones. They are done a good job, and we have some basically trains in Norway are really bad. So this score is everything combined. We have we rate this is the small list here is all the different things we rate them on, and then we compute a score. The big circles are the amount or errors, and the criticality is dark red, it's not so visible, and the more pinkish is not critical. So it's more severe the higher up this list you are. So this evaluates the content. We have, let's see, didn't I have, okay, yeah, let's skip to the next one. We also evaluate the consistency and coverage. So this is, if you go into this web page I have posted on here, you can read all the criteria and all the stuff that is behind it. I'm just going to give you a quick overview here. But the scoring for this, it evaluates the timing information. Yeah. So you can read this. But basically we have, this is one of the dimensions that we measure. We have data delivery, how many updates do they successfully have, and all these scores, they are quite technical, so there is also another aspect, of course, that we struggle to measure, and that's is this, are the one things that they report really the actual thing in real life, but yeah, that's kind of hard. This data delivery, you can see here one provider, he's actually also reporting on a lot of the other, this blue column indicates that he is supporting data for other code spaces than himself. So that's not good. So those are filtered out. they would corrupt other PTA's data if they were merged. We also measure how frequent we get data and how complete the data are, and score that. We have, so this was all the timing data, the scores. We also have, this is currently in beta, and we are building up this quality report on situation exchange as well. This is work in progress. I believe we also, can you confirm this, Vincent? Are we doing the same on VM data? No? Okay. Yeah. Rosam, I'm not sure. Lasse at Entur, he's the boss of this, and he said VM data, but I think he might have meant situation exchange when I talked to him last time. So, yeah, we can also pull out timing information on this, so we can see how this has developed over time. So if, are they improving, are they going up and down? So this is like the last year, roughly, I think, yeah? How are these scores going up and down? And we are using big queries to do this. What we have for vehicle monitoring positioning information is that we have this client which shows all the vehicles in Norway, and you can look at what kind of mode it is, how frequently that bus is updated. You can look at the delays. You can look at the occupancy. Right now, we don't have occupancy data. We have very little occupancy data, but that's the next thing we want to have. It will also help us in routing, because we want to display journeys that have more space than full trains, especially in around Oslo during rush hour. The fast trains are very crowded, but the journey planner only show those, because the slow trains that stops at every station, they are too slow. So they get excluded in OTP, because OTP doesn't know they have some disadvantage. And since we don't have this occupancy data, we can't use it in the routing either. So that's the next step for us. We also have this UI that the customer service at Entur can use. It shows all the real-time data that we have, so they can select, or on this side, they can select the PTA or namespace. They can select the line, and then down here they can select which update they want to look at. So if a customer complained that the train was 30 minutes late and he claims his money back, they can go in here and see if what the train was, how delayed it was. So I did this on a Saturday, and there wasn't many delays, so it's only this one, but, and it also prints out some other statistics. So this is a user interface that our customer service use. Most of the components that we use are either open source, or we can open source them if there are some interest in these. So take contact us if that's something interesting. There are They are rough, and probably require some skills to set up, but yeah. And basically, this is the same as Leonard showed. It's from Grafana. This is from OTP. And these three are more or less the same information, but we get them from Anshar instead, over our real-time hub. I really encourage people to set up a real-time hub in front of OTP, but yeah. Okay. Any questions? I went very fast through this, I know, but yeah.
When you published the score of the different operators,
yeah,
whether the operators that had bad scores, did they try to prevent this from being published?
I'm not sure. We have had it for such a long time, so I'm not sure if they tried to do that in the beginning. But that is a motivation factor to improve. That's why we do it. So, but one of the reasons why we do it. So I don't know, but this is pretty much anchored by the government in Norway. So I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier for us to do.
I can tell you that in Germany this would be seen as shaming people.
Yeah, but if you don't know what the problem is and where the problem are, you can't do anything about it. So that's the first rule. You have to, and we are trying our best to like make a fair comparison. There aren't everything that we can't measure, but yeah, making this kind of report available and public, we do it so they can improve, and we work with them to improve it as well. So if they come to us and say they wanted to, can you help us improve this, then we try to help them the best we can. Yeah, any questions? Yeah, Jordan?
For how long do you store this historical data, and do you have any idea like what kind of data sizes
No, do you, Vincent? I know that there is a lot of data, but I guess BigQuery is built for a lot of data. I know that we don't store it for a very long time because the amount, but I can ask if you are interested.
Yeah, you store some real-time data, and I think it's 7 gigabytes per day. You store it for a month or so.
Yeah, it's month, a year, something like that. But I'm not sure. I can ask. Okay.